This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Tuesday morning. The Yankees game ended just a couple hours ago, but with a victory in extra innings, another one, four in a row for them. The Mets and Steven Matz avenged that terrible loss from a couple of days ago against the Phillies last night at Citi Field after a lengthy rain delay. We are just a couple of days away from the NFL draft. Odell Beckham Jr. still can't let go of getting traded as he went berserk on Twitter last night talking to a bunch of fans about his time with the Giants and what happened. It was something we'll get into a little bit later because it was something else. But the stomach flu boy is back. Good morning, Boomer. How you feeling?
I'm doing a little bit better. Thank you, Gio. I'm sorry I didn't make it yesterday, but boy, the thing hit me on Saturday afternoon, and I've been fighting it off the last 3 days. And so I would say that I'm about 85%.
But you're done with the vomiting.
I'm done with all that stuff. Done with the fever and the chills and all that. But
what about the contagious element of this?
Yeah, I think that's passed and gone, too.
You think?
And I think I know where I got it. I think I got it in the bathroom here on Thursday.
Really?
Because I was telling Al, I went in there, and one of the stalls had exploded. I didn't know it. They had the door open, and I walked in there, and I was like, oh, man. And then I walked out of there, and then I got to believe that's where I got sick. I don't know. Who knows? But it was ugly. I thought the flu had been gone, and then I see yesterday I was reading an article that the flu is back in some ways, and the stomach flu is back. So anybody who's dealt with it, you know what I've dealt with. I know what you've dealt with. Hopefully you're through it. I feel like I'm, like I said, 85%. I don't have all my energy back, but I'm here. And quite frankly, all you do is lay around, and you watch TV, and you watch sporting events, and there are a lot of great things that happened this weekend and a lot of bad things that happened this weekend. And the biggest one being the Aaron Judge thing. The fact that, you know, he pulled an oblique, and what this means for the team, and the ability to go out and win games without him now. This is two games in a row that they've won without him, essentially. Two and a half games, I guess. It really speaks to the testament of what the Yankee culture is all about. Even if Chapman blows a save like he did last night, the Yankee culture, and I think this is what Aaron Boone keeps talking to over the last couple of days, is about, look, we still expect to win. I mean, it's the next man up. Now, I don't know how long this next man up thing is going to be able to sustain itself.
Yeah.
But I think now it's about treading water until you get some of your pieces back. And they'll start coming back relatively soon. But in the meantime, all these guys have what they all want, and that's a chance. And there's nobody, I think, taking more opportunity with his chance than Clint Frazier. I mean, he has been unbelievable, really, since he's gotten here. And he's been like a little spark plug. And Luke Voit hits a home run last night. And, you know, they did make Matt Harvey look like a Cy Young Award winner, which he has not been up until this point. But I will say that I give them credit, because this is a team, and they were saying it all weekend long. I just every time you turn on the TV, Michael Kay was telling you how many guys were on the injured list, what an injured list it is. It's an all-star team.
I mean, it's crazy what's going on.
No, it is crazy. But between him and Meredith and the guys in the booth, I mean, I just kept telling you incessantly what the problem is. And we all know what the problem is. It's like, okay, we get it. Now we should really focus our attention on what the guys on the field are trying to do. And this kid Urshela, like, he's come out of nowhere.
Yeah, Gio Urshela. I mean, and
Urshela,
defensively too. I mean, the guy is an incredible third baseman. He's been clutch for them at the plate. He kind of looks like Giancarlo Stanton's out of shape younger brother with the way that he looks in the box. And he's just a guy who's plugged in and making the most out of his opportunity. And there's so many of these guys right now, whether it's Tauchman or Ford or Romine or Urshela, or obviously Voit, and then you think about
Torres, how he's going to be needing to carry this team offensively at times. There's a million of these guys, but there's something endearing about a group like this going out and winning.
Well, this is who they were 2 years ago when nobody knew who they were. Nobody knew who Andujar was. Nobody, you know, you knew what Judge was going to be. You kind of saw what Gary Sanchez was the year before, and then all of a sudden Gleyber Torres comes up here before he was supposedly ready to come up here. And by the way, say whatever you want. Gleyber Torres is a natural shortstop. He plays shortstop as good as anybody in baseball. I don't care what anybody says. Now, when Didi comes back, they'll probably move him over there. But, you know, this whole addition of LeMahieu has worked out well, too.
Sure.
So right now, I would think that you're treading water. You're just holding your breath that they don't get into an extended losing streak. They get a good performance by Jay Happ last night. They get a good performance from Paxton on Saturday, even though they almost blow both of those performances. With the bullpen, it was relatively healthy with the exception of Dellin Betances. But I was reading yesterday, I think it was Joel Sherman wrote about it. You know, there are bullpens that are collapsing all over the place.
Everybody's bullpen is terrible, it seems like. But with the Yankees, you think about all these names at the back end of the bullpen. You got back-to-back games. One on Sunday where you're able to survive after being up 5-0. You get Green and Ottavino terrible. Then last night, Aroldis Chapman ends up blowing the save for the Yankees. But they come back both times and they win. So now... You look at the schedule, and I know we've done too much of the looking at the schedule stuff because you think you're supposed to beat everybody. However, on this West Coast road trip, you open up with a couple of bad teams. Teams have not played all that well with the Angels and the Giants.
I think at this point it's all about hanging around 500 and maybe catch a little lightning in the bottle like they have. And just to say that, you know, Aaron Boone's in a tough spot here. But I like what he's saying. I do like we still expect to win. We still expect to put the Yankee uniform on. We still have expectations here. All that stuff is a good messaging. It's all good messaging. And by the way, he is really going to be under the microscope now because he's got to help his team win games. His decisions are going to have to be, I don't know whether you want to call them aggressive or you want to call them just be smart about what you're doing because – you can lose games with a team that is fragile as this. But I don't necessarily know that they think they're fragile. I don't think that Clint Frazier thinks of himself
as
fragile.
Well, I mean,
I don't think that Luke Voigt thinks of himself as fragile.
He certainly doesn't. Yeah.
No, I mean, so there's guys that are on the field for them, and Gleyber Torres would be one of those guys, too. And I think Austin Romine, after the weekend that he had, probably feels good about getting an opportunity to play and contribute offensively as well as defensively.
Yeah, and there's something to be said about multiple guys who have not gotten a chance to play every day now getting that chance. Clint Frazier is the perfect example. How many times would he have played if he didn't have a concussion or whatever injury was cropping up for him because of the injuries last year the Yankees had to deal with, and now he's playing every day. So we'll see how long they can sustain it, and one guy has to start coming back, and then you feel like the rest of them, eventually you'll see him, and the first one will be Gary Sanchez, we think still on Wednesday. Then after that, you want to see Giancarlo Stanton at some point. I mean, it seems like that injury that wasn't supposed to be a long time has been just elongated every time we look at a timetable because he hasn't been hitting on the field. He hasn't been doing this or doing that. That's the guy you really need to see get back when Judge is out because someone has to be a presence in the middle of that lineup other than what they've been throwing out there.
I wonder if we see Judge before June 1st. I don't think so.
No, I don't think
so
either.
It sounded like in the way that he reacted after he swung the bat and the way he grabbed his side, you could tell that thing was – it popped on him. He felt it. It's opportunities abound for everybody that is in a Yankee uniform now too. And then for the Yankee fan that is always like, go get this guy, go get that guy, you have to remember you have to protect your 40-man roster. That's the most important thing. And, you know, Ellsbury's out of the picture completely. They don't want him back here at all. They'd rather play with guys that, that they have here, that they want to give young guys opportunities. You know, Brian Cashman will figure out ways to get this thing done. But they just have to hang around 500. That's what they have to do because everybody else is kind of middling and struggling as well. And I think that if they're able to do that, and then when Judge comes back, and then maybe Andujar comes back with Stanton and Sanchez, then all of a sudden you got something. So
I know each guy's different with the injuries, but for example, Todd Frazier's first game back was last night. He had that left oblique. He injured it February 26th, and we were talking 2 full months that he was gone. So that, and Todd Frazier, Aaron Judge, different physical specimens for sure.
I would say the oblique is a little bit bigger for Aaron Judge.
Yes, right. So, I mean, that's 2 full months for Frazier. They're going to want Judge back quicker. The Mets had the luxury of taking time with Frazier because they didn't really need him because of everybody that was stepping up. So I don't know if it's going to be 2 full months that we see Aaron Judge from late April to late June. But it's a real possibility with that injury. It really is.
Well, it is. And so for the Yankees, look, it's you're a Yankee fan. You just want to take the winning, and they have to just kind of batten down the hatches and just try to stay relevant. And I think they will. I think Aaron Boone's mindset and everything else that goes along with dealing with injuries and adversity and all that stuff. You hear Belichick talk about it all the time, and that's exactly what Aaron Boone is saying. So good for him. And good that the team is actually responding to him and playing well and making the most of their chances. And speaking of chances, I think, you know, Steven Matz, second chance.
How great is that to see? For a guy who's been a little bit fragile throughout his career, has the worst outing of his life against the Phillies last week, comes back, same team, of course, different building at Citi Field, and he was great last night. He was able to shut them down. Now, it wasn't a full game of Bryce Harper in there as he gets thrown out and he screams and he has to be held back. You know, when Gabe Kapler is holding back Bryce Harper, that's a lot of testosterone right there.
Did we all feel like, though, at the beginning of the year when he signed there that there would be
multiple instances like this?
Well, I know these aren't instances between the two of them.
Right.
But it is it's kind of interesting that it happened here in New York, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it was fun to watch it. The fact that, you know, we're watching the game because it's the Mets and you're seeing these guys go nuts. And Bryce Harper, you knew he was pissed when he left the box after he was called out on strike three and then just kept getting worse and worse and worse. He's barking from the dugout. He gets thrown out and then he went crazy. I don't love the umpire throwing a guy out in the fourth inning. I mean, he really has to be out of control, especially for words. You're telling me he's throwing something out of the dugout.
Yeah, but if you cuss or you say something that is disrespectful, the umpire has every right to throw a guy.
Yeah. I mean, you saw Aaron Boone get thrown out. What's that?
You saw Aaron Boone get thrown out over the weekend.
Yeah,
no,
I know.
You could read his lips.
Yeah, but Aaron Boone, it doesn't make a difference. Bryce Harper is the best player on the team in the fourth inning.
Game, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care. Throw him out.
Right, I get it. It was great. It helped the Mets.
If I were at the Mets game tonight, I'd be yelling, throw him out. Yeah, right now, just get him out of here.
I guess. I'm just thinking globally, they shouldn't umpires. They just get
dude, too. I don't care, man. Doesn't matter.
Over-officious and chucking guys out. I don't want to see that happen to one of my guys. You know, fourth inning, throw him out of the game.
Are you sitting here and you're defending Bryce Harper?
No, I hate the umpires. The umpires are nuts. The umpires are terrible at what they do, and then you complain about it. They throw him out. I can't stand
that. Last night, the umpires were on our side. That's the way I look at it.
Well, hey, for one night, but then what if it's Conforto or Alonso or Cano or whoever?
Our guys are so much more behaved.
Yeah,
you know, we're not Philadelphia. We're not like Joel Embiid and Bryce Harper and, you know, Claude Giroux and all those lunatics down there in Philadelphia. I mean, come on, we're the Mets.
Scott Hartnell, right?
No longer. But
that guy was a real pain in the ass back in the day, right?
Dave Schultz, pain in the ass. Yeah. Bobby Clark, pain in the ass.
Right.
Right? I mean, Chase Utley, pain in the ass. I don't know why they all end up in Philadelphia, but they all end up in Philadelphia.
Sure, I know.
Look at Donovan McNabb. He's a pain in the ass now.
Yeah, he was making waves yesterday. Did you see some of his?
I saw some of his stuff.
I think it was with Zach Gelb, actually. Bob Gelb's son had Donovan McNabb on his show. And made like national news because McNabb said that the Eagles are going to need to draft another quarterback because Carson Wentz can't get it done. I thought that was interesting.
Can't stay healthy is what he is talking
about.
But
all these Philadelphia guys, it's the classic take of if they were your guys, you'd love them, but they're not, so you hate them. But it is true. They have an overabundance of chip-on-their-shoulder jerks that play in that city, but it's perfect for them. It's absolutely perfect.
Now, what did I tell you after Joel Embiid did that stupid thing that he did in Philadelphia in game two, right? I told you that the Brooklyn Nets would be ticked off. And I know internally that they would be upset and they were just waiting for a moment. And Joel Embiid did exactly what he did to Jared Allen. He had a flagrant one. If you know the history, the recent history between these two teams and what happened, that flagrant one should have been called a flagrant two because of what happened in the game previous and what happened after the game in the stupid press conference. You know, Sean Marks, Kenny Atkinson, Dudley, you know, all those guys were talking about it. We're going to react to it. And I'm actually glad they reacted to it. I don't expect them to win the series, but the way that That whole thing went down. Embiid is just like, I'd love to have him on my team, but I also hate him.
Yeah, I know. But he's punking like, them so bad.
Exactly.
He is making a mockery out of them.
But that's why the Nets are reacting the way they are.
But it's Jared Dudley who's reacting which makes it even worse because then Embiid just makes fun of him. I mean, we were playing the cut yesterday. I know you were sick. We were playing the cut yesterday where he goes, first of all, he's a nobody, you know? So, I mean, he's like a WWE guy where he's body slamming guys and then he's insulting them. And then he's laughing at you in the press conference. And the only way that you can combat that is if you come back and win the series, and you're not going to do that.
Well, someday, somewhere, he'll get his. I don't know where and when, but he'll get his. You watch. I mean, he's messing with fire. I don't think he's messing with fire in terms that they're going to lose the series.
No.
I just think that, you know, he's doing things that, obviously, I believe are disrespectful to the other team.
I agree. I mean, you can't elbow a guy in the face as hard as he did laugh at him.
Yeah, but that whole thing was on purpose. The fact that he didn't get thrown out of the game for that tells me that, you know, the referees didn't do their job. I thought he was totally out of bounds for that. And then the actions after the game at the press conference, even worse.
Yep.
And I knew that Atkinson and Marks and those guys, they're trying to build something over there. They're trying to build a culture in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And I can really appreciate what they're trying to do and how they're trying to do it. And the first thing you have to do is you have to react to crap like that. Now, it may take you out of the game, but at the end, but you know, for them to be who they want to be, they have to react.
Yeah, I think that it's who's reacting, though, is important.
Now,
I know, but I know the Nets don't have that one personality that stands out because they're a group of guys who work well collectively. I think D'Angelo Russell is the biggest star that they have. But the fact that it's the general manager that's going to the officials room, the fact that it's Jared Dudley who is a bit piece on this team, it's just you're not going to stand up to guys like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and these guys that are superstars in basketball that are pushing you around.
And so, by the way, the officials in this series, I hate to even talk about it, but they have become a part of the series from the Nets' perspective. I don't care what anybody says. If you watch the games, the fouls they're uneven. They're not being called evenly. And I don't know what the reason is for that. I don't think it's on purpose. I just think maybe it's where the chips fall. But there is no question that they have every right to be frustrated. They have a right to be frustrated with Embiid, who's basically taken them out of their game, and because they can't hit their threes. And two, because the officiating has been somewhat inconsistent. I'll leave it at that. How about that?
Well, yes. And that's fine if you say it. It's just if the Nets make it an excuse, then that's a problem.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.